Sasha Phillips again, today with Sasha and Shanti. So we'll read a little bit and then we'll discuss a little bit. So Ben Abachi begins, Chavas Kabbalah Savaras Hashem Yisrael Mivyathara. Omar, Kevin Shebeyanu B'Meshe Kodam, Chavas Toa Yichud Hashem Yisrael, V'Ofanei B'Chinas Tovosav Al Ha'odam. So the two previous Sha'arim, number one, Ben Abachi has explained why and how we come to know of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His unity, Yichud Hashem. And number two, how we discern and recognize all the tovos which He bestows upon us. Chayavim anu lahasmech l'chach, so we have to juxtapose to this, Ma shechayav ha'odam linog bo kashi is barulo. What is a person supposed to do with this information? Being aware, number one, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, of the fact that we are constantly, continuously recipients of His chesed. So he chovas avodas Hashem. This is our obligation of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol ma shemachayiv oso ha-sechel le-meitiv min ha-mutav lo. To the degree that a beneficiary is obligated to his benefactor. Okay. Then he goes on to describe various situations, ben adam l'chavero, in which you have a benefactor and a beneficiary. And he describes five different examples. Parent with a child, a master with a slave, a rich man with a poor man, one man and his neighbor, and the fifth, the more powerful, with a weak. And he describes how in each case it's not really pure altruism, but in each case it's either a teva, it's either some kind of instinct which drives a person, or he's in other cases he's looking to protect his own investment, as with the Odom and the Eved. Or maybe he's even bothered at the other person's pain. It's not so much the other person's pain, but it's his pain that bothers him. And he describes that in each of these cases, even though the chesed is carried out, it's not pure altruism. But nevertheless, we all recognize intuitively that a person has an obligation of hakara satov. That a person should feel, is indebted, and should feel indebted. So then he says, Al achas kama v'kama. This is a few lines after he finishes describing the five situations of chesed amongst men. Al achas kama v'kama chayef ha'odam min ha-mashmas v'ha-todo v'ha-brocha. How much more so is a person obligated to obey, to give thanks, and to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'borei HaTova V'HaMeitivlo Asher Ein Techlo L'Tovaso. There's no end to his Chasadim Elohi Ritzufo Tmidus. Constant. The lo matara the toalas atzmo, with no self-interest, the lo the salik mimenu tzah, and not to free himself of any distress, ela tova nedova v'chesed meito al b'nei adam. But pure, pure chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mimashe v'oy shenam adalah, another point of relevance, shekol adam ha-meitiv l'zulaso me'ezes zug shi'iyya min ha-sugim ha-shehiz kanu, from any of the five classes which we enumerated before, ein yisrona al-oso she'heitiv l'okim be'echad ha-mikrim. The difference between the benefactor and the beneficiary is incidental. It's incidental. One's up on his luck, one's down on his luck. One's rich, one's poor. One's older, one's younger. One's more mature, one's less mature. But incidental differences. Aval ba'admiyusam, in their humanness, ba'atzmusam, in their essence, harehin domim, they resemble each other. Krovim b'mahusam, b'tzurasam, v'chiburam, v'tavnisam, v'tiveihem, v'habim mimikrehem. They're basically of the same genus. V'afal pichein, and nevertheless, even though the differences between them are in a way accidental, it just so happens that he's rich and that I'm poor and that he has the opportunity to help me. Nevertheless, chayav hamutavlo, mashmas lameitiv kafisha be'arnu. Nevertheless, the beneficiary is indebted to the benefactor. Ve'im netayas hamutavlo betachlas hachisaron v'hamegra'as v'hakovaso v'chiburo v'tavnuso tia chovas hamashmas olav yosach haburo v'chiyuvas v'hechreches. If the beneficiary is totally dependent on the benefactor, totally weak in every form and fashion, so then his indebtedness will be all the greater. And v'chein kasha netayas ha-meitiv v'tova nalo v'shalim mikol nimtza. If we will describe the benefactor as being perfect, v'hamutav lo garua mikol nimtza v'cholash mikol nivra. So if the benefactor is absolutely independent and the beneficiary is totally dependent, so then reason, logic dictates that the indebtedness which we have is all encompassing. Then he goes on to explain that the nimshal here is in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here, it's important to have some context for what we just read, for the parts that we didn't take the time out to read together. Rebbe Bachya very consciously in a sentence, what does Rebbe Bachya say? Rebbe Bachya says we have an all-encompassing sense of indebtedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're totally dependent upon him. We're beneficiaries of his chesed, without which we couldn't exist. So that creates a sense of obligation to accept O Malchus Shamayim. Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos say it even more basically, even more fundamentally, in a sense than Rabbeinu Bachya here does. The Mishnah at the end of Perek Daled and Pirkei Avos. But of Bal Kochacha Ato Chai, and Al Kochacha Ato Meis, and Al Kochacha Ato Osed Liten Din V'Cheshbon. So again, there's no... We're not appealing to... that this is what you should want to do. We're not appealing to necessarily the nobler instincts here, but we're just stating a very brute fact. It's very... a brute fact. Balkochecha atochai, balkochecha atomeis, and alkochecha atos elite and inuchedma. And ein hasha'ol manoslo, the mission says. There's no escape from that. The Mishnah is appealing to the one of the most fundamental instincts we have, which is self-interest, self-preservation. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Al kafucha ato chai, and al kafucha ato meis, and al kafucha ato lasim b'tein din v'cheshbon. Ultimately, a person has to give a reckoning. So the Mishnah is appealing to self-preservation. Ben Abachya is maybe one step further. He's already lifting it to a sense of moral obligation, not just appealing to self-interest and to self-preservation, but he's arguing in more moral terms. That out of Hakaras HaTov, out of the sense of indebtedness which a beneficiary has, so we're obligated. But the Tzad HaShaga, the common denominator of what the Mishnah says, speaking of us, and of Ben Bachya, is that they're very much underscoring a sense of obligation. A sense of obligation. Now it's very important, again, to have context on this. Number one, he does this throughout Chovos Halvavos, but especially over here, Rabbeinu Bachya in the first paragraph, which we read, reviews for us exactly where, at what stage we're holding when he introduces the Shav Avodas Elokim. We're talking about a person who is aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence and is aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chasadim. So what Rabbeinu Bachya is saying, Rabbeinu Bachya is not describing an ideal here. That's what's important to see. Okay? Sometimes you read it, you read the Mishnah Pei Avos, so Bal Kochecha Ato Chai, and Bal Kochecha Ato Meis, and Bal Kochecha Ato Osed Liten Din V'Cheshbon. Alright, so Ben Bach is a little bit more tactful. It tries to be a little bit more, more tactful. So it's a moral obligation, okay? It's not just the obligation, but he adds the adjective. It's a moral obligation, because we're the beneficiaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somehow we sense, is that really what Torah is all about? Is that really what Torah is all about? Bal kocha ato chai, bal kocha ato meis, and bal kocha ato osed din v'cheshbon. So the answer is, Rabbeinu Bachya is talking to us now. Rabbeinu Bachya takes you through a journey. Takes you from a journey from knowing nothing. He begins by introducing you to Yichud Hashem, and he takes you on a journey all the way to Avos Hashem. Okay, so what Rabbeinu Bachya is describing now, what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is describing there, we're not describing the ideal. We're not telling you what Torah is all about. We're not telling you what Torah is all about. Take a little child. Take a little child. You want him to learn Torah. So the Rambam tells you in the Hagdamah, to the Parag Chelik, in Parashah Mishnayis. So you don't start telling him about the Kutcha Bichu of Araisa Yisrael Chadu. You don't tell him about Lefiya Deyatiya Abba. You tell him, you learn a Mishnah, and I'll give you a candy. You learn a Mishnah, I'll give you a candy. So you talk to people b'asher hu sham. You talk to everyone according to their spiritual station, which with a child is obviously a function of intellectual and emotional capacity as well. So Rebbeinu Bachya, again, he reviews. What I'm telling you now about Avodas Hashem, I'm not telling you that this is what Torah is all about. I'm not telling you that Torah, I'm not telling you that Yiddishkeit, if you want a slogan for Yiddishkeit, the slogan for Yiddishkeit is Bal Kochcha Atochai, and Bal Kochcha Atomeis, and Bal Kochcha Atosin and Din V'Cheshbel. I'm telling you, if you believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, we already studied Shah and Misha. And number two, you're aware of the Chesed Ribbono Shel Olam, Shah Sheni, and you want to know why you should get out of bed in the morning to say Kriya Shema. You want to know why should I do it? So I'm telling you, you should do it. You should have a sense of obligation. You should have a sense of obligation. So the Shara Avodas Elokim, I mean, if you take it out of context of the Chovos Halvavos as a whole, so given the title of this particular Shara, so you might think that Rebbeinu Bachya is describing the goal, describing how Chassidim and Anshei Maisa are over Hashem. And the answer is no. Shara Avodas Elokim is a person who is at the towards the beginning of his journey of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's talking to a person, to us, who are still far more distant and remote from the Ribbono Shel Olam than we should be. So yeah, so that's very important. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Al Kochcha Atochai, Al Kochcha Atomeis, Al Kochcha Atoisa Lida Nin V'Cheshbon, is that what Torah is all about? Is that the Torah's goal? Is that the Torah's ideal? No. Avodas Hashem, so the Torah wants Avodas Hashem should be out of self-interest, should be for self-preservation? No. But the Torah is aware of a very fundamental fact. Let's say the first siman, sif in Shulchan Aruch, is Yizkar V'Ikari La'avod Mizbach. Okay, but it's not so simple, right? It's not so simple. Yizkar V'Ikari La'avod Mizbach is not so simple. If Achman L'Tzlan would be a fire in the house, 3 o'clock in the morning, you just went to bed at 2 o'clock, exhausted, dead tired, you wouldn't get out of bed for $1 million. If there's a fire, you'll get out of bed. You'll get out of bed. You'll get out of bed and you'll set a world record in the 50-yard dash. So self-interest, acting out of an instinct for self-interest and self-preservation, is not the goal of Torah. It's not what Torah is about. But it does provide a universal impetus for a person to begin on his way in a life of Torah mitzvahs. B'tosef is biyun. The famous Gemara in Shabbos Peches, in last week's Pasha, Vayisyatz v'msachta sahar, Lamed shekaplein ha'kibidus. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, in Mekablin, he picked up the mountain, held it over their heads. If you Mekabel the Torah, good. Vimlav sham take for us. I'll drop the mountain on you, this will be your burial spot. So Tosfos asked the Kasha, why was there need for intimidation? Why was there need for coercion? They already said Nasar and Nishma. Vayashem Moshe is Divrei Olam El Hashem. So in the previous Pesukim, they already said Nasar. They already committed themselves unqualifiedly to do what Kadosh Baruch Hu said. That's Tosfos' kasha. So Tosfos' answers that Ribbono Shel Olam was afraid that maybe they would regress. The intimidation, the coercion was necessary that they shouldn't regress. But Be'emes, we can give another tirus and Tosfos Kasha also. So Salanta says, we all know and many others distinguish between Yiras HaOnesh and Yiras HaRamos. Yiras HaOnesh, again, is the Yira to which that mission Pirkei Avos is appealing. A Yira of self-preservation. We're afraid of being punished. Yiras HaRamos, more noble, altruistic kind of Yira, we're in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not so much fear because of consequences, but a sense of awe. Yiras HaOnesh, Yiras HaRamos. What is the ideal of Torah? What is Torah trying to lead us to? Yiras HaRamos. Yiras HaRamos. Not very, again, a very self-centered fear of consequences, but rather a more noble sense of awe of the Ribono Shel Olam. However, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, a person is not supposed to have disdain for Yiras HaOnesh. A person is not supposed to dismiss Yiras HaOnesh and say, no, to talk about Yiras HaOnesh is to sully, to contaminate Torah. It's to lower Torah too much. In other words, we should censor those Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos which appeal, and again, without too much tact, which appeal to an instinct for self-preservation, we should sort of gloss over them. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, no. No. Why not? So here, I'll just give you a moshel before, and then Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser elaborates on it, give you a moshel before we discuss the rest of what they say. Moshel l'ma'adav adoma, you have two magnets. You have a magnet, and then you have a refrigerator. So if the refrigerator is over here, and you're holding the magnet over here, see, even though there is a natural, potentially powerful, and irresistible attraction between the magnet and the refrigerator, the magnet is too far. It's too far from its source to feel it. It's not going to sense that. It might not even be aware that that attraction exists. It might not even be aware that that attraction is latent within it. Somehow or other, by hook or by crook, you push it forward. You push it forward. You bring it closer. So then all of a sudden, you don't need to push it in anymore. Then all of a sudden, not only does it become aware of that attraction, but that attraction becomes so powerful and naturally irresistible, not because of any sense of coercion or sense of obligation, but just because within proximity to the refrigerator, so then the magnet is overcome once it becomes close enough with that attraction intrinsic to it, then you don't need to push anymore. To be over Hashem, me'ava, me'yira, to have yira saramus, awe, not just fear, not just brute fear, but a noble sense of awe. To be over Hashem, me'ava, without any, with total disregard for personal consequences. Bein bon hazeh, bein bon ha'bon. Tell the story of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov was once told Ben HaShemayim that he had lost his own heart. So his reaction was, oh, Baruch Hashem. Now it will be easier for me to be Oved Me'ava, I will no longer have to struggle with the Yetzer Hara that I'm going to get Tzchah for this Olam Haba. I know I lost my Olam Haba, Baruch Hashem, I can really be Oved Me'ava. So that's the goal. That's the goal. How does that happen? How does that happen? It doesn't happen when a person is very distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person is distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's very mired and weighed down by materialism. Totally enveloped in Gashmias. He doesn't sense that attraction. He's too far. He doesn't sense that attraction. He has to have a sense of obligation. You have to speak to him in a language that he can understand at all times. 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. Bal kochacha atochai, bal kochacha atomeis, and al kochacha atos lite din v'cheshbon is a language we all understand 24 hours a day. If the fire alarm goes off and you know that it's not a fire drill, but you know it's for real, so it doesn't matter how tired you are, it doesn't matter how exhausted you are, you don't try to make excuses, you don't want to make excuses. It's a language which you understand and which you respond to. B'chol kocha. B'chol kochenu, we respond to that. Shel Salanta says, even if a person thinks he has a sense, well, maybe we're adding to what he says now. Even if a person thinks that he has a sense for Yiras HaRamos, B'nai Yisrael said, Nasir v'nishma. We'll do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. We're not asking you what he's going to ask of us. We're not asking you for a listing of Tayyag Mitzvahs. We'll do. We want to do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. They had a sense. They had an inspiration. They said it, Me'ahava Me'yira, Me'yira Saramimus. They didn't say it out of Yira Saramimus. They made a Kabbalah. So what happens when you say Atzur V'Sachta Sahar? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, that's not enough. If the only impulse which you have is because now it's a moment of inspiration. It's a moment of inspiration. You have a sense for Ramumus Hashem because you just witnessed the Gilui Shechina. You just witnessed the Gilui Shechina. You're overcome with a sense of Ahavas Hashem, because again, Ras Hashivcha Aliyah, Mashallah Ra Yecheska Nebusi, because of the Nebuah you just had. If that's what underlies your Kabbalah Satorah, that's not enough. You have to be Mekabal Torah also, like Yisyatsu B'Safdi Sahar. You have to be Mekabal Torah, not just as a sense of opportunity and a sense of privilege, and because of a moment of profound inspiration and recognition, no. Kof aleim harki gigis. You have to be mekabel Torah because of this sense of obligation as well. Because if you have this sense of obligation of ayesiyatsu v'safti sahara, so then there won't be that many peaks and valleys. Then even when that moment of inspiration fades, even when the nevuah which you just had is not so vivid anymore, and you fall off that madrega, for a moment, they were all yecheskels. No, they weren't all yecheskels. For a moment, they lived on the plane which even yecheskel didn't have. But after that, the Rosh Hashanah said, then you're gonna fall back. This was a moment. So if your Kabbalah is only going to come out of this moment of inspiration for Romulus and for Ahava, it won't last. It won't endure. Because you're not at a Madrega yet. You have to have a sense of Kabbalah. You have to have a sense of obligation. That Kabbalah's HaTorah is not, again, just as a bracha, but as a tzivui, as a sense of obligation. And the reason for that is because that is something which will motivate you and impel you at all times. At all times. As it motivates and impels you, so then through Torah and mitzvos, so then we are purified and we become refined to such an extent that in the moshul of the magnet, it brings us closer to the Ribono Shel Olam until it's not just a moment of inspiration of Romulus and Ahava, but we actually achieve that station. So Hashem says in V'yashuvu v'yachnu l'fnei pi achiras, they saw told to backtrack. They went out of Mitzrayim. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, retrace your steps. V'yashuvu v'yachnu. What does it mean? Why backtrack? Explain it like this. Tzias Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted Bnei Yisrael to a tremendously high madrega. Tremendously high madrega. Nevuah bestowed upon him. The Gilui Shechina. They were shakur b'memtei shari tumah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to intervene before it was too late. The Yeshua v'Yachin, now you have to go back. You have to retrace your steps. And through your amala, through your yegiya, through your exertion in Torah and mitzvahs, you have to achieve this level to which I lifted you. Because if it just comes from a momentary, from a moment of inspiration, which is entirely normal, so it's not going to last. The Yeshua, now you have to backtrack. Now that I showed you, now that I was Mizgala, and you saw me, and you saw that ultimately the most powerful malucha in the world was overturned. So now, that moment of inspiration, you have to go back. You have to go back now and build on that. You can't just stay where I brought you to, because this moment of inspiration will fade. The moment of inspiration will fade. You have to go back and you have to translate that. You have to translate that into action, and you have to build yourself. So Rabbeinu Bachya here appeals to a sense of obligation. You're indebted. Like it or not, you're indebted. The mission picking up us also appeals to a sense of indebtedness. That's what Rabbi Yisrael Salanta explained, that's critical and crucial, because that sense of obligation pushes us forward, even when we're too distant and too remote, to sense that overwhelming and powerful, irresistible attraction. The Gemara tells us, Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yomai Nitzta'arti Al Mikra Zeh Mosa Yovel Yodi Ve'e Kaimenu. You didn't feel any pain. Akiva didn't feel pain. Kol Yomai Nitzta'arti. But then he was B'Simcha. At the end he was B'Simcha. Kol Yomai Nitzta'arti. His whole life, he agonized, will I ever have an opportunity, to fulfill this pasuk? So we don't understand that. That kind of irresistible, powerful attraction. So we're too far. We have moments of inspiration. But we have more moments of numbness and of laziness, which more than counteract those moments of inspiration. So says Rabbeinu Bachya, I'm going to explain to you now, you're only holding the Tshah Shlishi, I'm going to explain to you now, Chiyav Avodas Hashem, not the way of Rabbi Kiva, not what Torah is really about. I'm not telling you what Torah is really about. I'm telling you a Harasha for now. I'm telling you how, if you're distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that you don't have this irresistible, powerful, that natural attraction which is there, but you're too far to sense it, so I'm going to tell you what will push you forward, even without sensing that attraction. So the Yiras HaOnesh, this is what Avitzel Ablanza talks about, the Yiras HaOnesh pushes us into Torah and Mitzvahs. Bal Kochach Ato Asalit HaNin V'Cheshbon pushes us into Torah and Mitzvahs. Torah and Mitzvahs, it purifies a person. It refines a person. I'd say a person b'tivo wants to gossip. Wants to gossip. So, puk chazik. Even if a person abstains from lashon hara, purely out of yiras haonesh, he's plotting to gossip. He's plotting to hear what they're saying about Yaron, and he's plotting to tell his friend what he already knows about Yaron. But he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. So puk chazik, that person, even though he's motivated by yiras haonesh, and look into yourself, the person becomes uplifted. He becomes uplifted. He becomes a better person. Not just that he abstains. Maybe initially he just abstains. Maybe initially he just he bites his tongue. But ultimately, he becomes a much better person. Less petty. Less cheap. He becomes a better person. So the point is that Shmiras, Torah, and Mitzvahs, even if a person, when a person is motivated by Yiras HaOnesh, it purifies the person. It purifies the person. A person learns Torah, so there's no... non-mystical explanation for this. A person learns Torah, he learns enough Torah, a person gets a tshuva to learn Torah. A person learns Torah initially out of a sense of obligation. He learns enough Torah, he tastes enough Torah, he wants to learn more Torah. He wants to learn more Torah. He wants to learn more Torah. You do it initially out of Yiras HaOnesh, out of Ahava Schar, but it purifies the person, it refines the person. Gradually, slowly, bit by bit. Person doesn't want to daven every day. He'd rather not daven. Person davens every day. Thinks about what he's saying. It changes him. Even though the impulse was a sense of obligation, even though he only is aware of Vayitzah, he's not aware of any dimension of bracha of Vayavarech. Totally, totally motivated on Vayitzah, the self-instinct. The instinct for self-preservation, but it purifies the person. It purifies the person. And that's the secret. So no, that mission picking up is not what Torah is all about. Not the catch-all of Torah. Nor is this Shah of Avodas Elokim of Rabbeinu Bachya. If you read it and you're disappointed, so it's because you're reading it in the wrong context. If this was Shah HaSivi, if this were the pinnacle of Avodas Hashem, so yeah, Avodas Hashem is just out of sense of indebtedness. And let's say I'm totally unaware of any chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're right, those questions are valid depending upon the context. But given the context of this shah, so the context of this shah again is when the person is too far, when the person wants to talk lashon hara. But that, no, is that what Torah is all about? No, that's not what Torah is all about. Torah is not all about wanting to talk lashon hara. That's not what Torah is all about. But it is the beginning point. It is the beginning point. It is the beginning point. That's what Rabbeinu Bachya says. We're talking about a person who's far enough removed. He doesn't sense any of that attraction. So at this point, you appeal to the Vayitzav. You appeal to a sense of obligation. Again, well, obviously, we're not talking to be Makkavic people who don't believe in Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, Rabbeinu Bachya tells you we're talking about after Yichud Hashem and Shana Tchina. So we're talking to a very clearly identified person. And to such a person, so then you appeal to a sense of obligation, because that's a universal, at all times, for all people. The Vayetzav, the Yiras HaOnesh, is something we always understand. If there's a fire, we always jump up. And ultimately, that pushes us, and it pushes us a little bit, so then we don't do it totally out of a sense of obligation. Then it becomes a mixture. It's not 100% obligation, but the mixture. And the ratio within the mission, within the mixture, is constantly changing. The longer a person is involved, the Torah and mitzvahs. And then ultimately, the person is pushed and pushes himself so close that ultimately, no, he doesn't need this. This was a harasha. He doesn't need this. Rabbi Akiva didn't need this. This wasn't for Rabbi Akiva. Ultimately, he's so close that then the magnet has a powerful, irresistible attraction and can't be held back.